We
are.
We
are.
We are Cultivate.
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 We are Cultivate.
The Jamesons appear to be a typical American family. In 2009, they were living in a lakefront home in Eufaula, Oklahoma, and they would eventually want to find somewhere a bit more secluded to call home. So they set up a viewing for a 40-acre piece of property near Red Oak, Oklahoma. However, this was a trip that the family would never return from, and it would be more than a week, or it would take more than a week for others to realize that the family was missing. While their truck was later discovered, the Jamesons themselves were not, and it wouldn't be for another 4 years until the remains of the family were found. However, this would only raise more questions than it answered. Join us as we try to answer the 14-year-old question, what happened to the Jameson family? Hello, ghoul friends and spook daddies. It's Dom.
And Amy.
What?
That was...
Why are you laughing? My name.
That was hilarious. So Amy doesn't like unsolved cases.
No,
and that was such an exasperated...
No, I was trying. But the only thing you've literally the only thing you've told me about this week's episode is that it's unsolved. And you know how I feel about things that are unsolved. So I'm struggling to, you know, be my usual sunny self.
That was
when
brilliant.
I know what's coming.
I'm sorry. It's just when you were like, and it's Amy.
Yeah. Why do I have to be Amy?
So yes, it's Amy's favourite type of case this week. She's gonna have a barrel of laughs on this one. Amy, how are you other than done with this episode already?
Yeah. I'm all right. Annoyingly, I haven't got alcohol for this episode either. I've got a big old mug of tea, which is not the same. So I'm going to try my best to be upbeat about it, but I just don't like the... It's not that I don't like them. I do like hearing the stories. It's just that I haven't got the right brain to be able to just accept that things aren't solved. Yeah. So we get to the end and I'm just like, nah.
To be fair, I think we like finality on things, don't we? We like things to have a conclusion.
Yeah.
We don't like things... not to have a conclusion. So I understand.
Exactly.
I understand.
I like, and then he died in prison, the end.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my sort of ending.
To be fair, I get frustrated with unsolved cases sometimes. Like, I'll watch an Unsolved Mysteries episode and like it'll be like, no resolution. And I'll be like, the cheek of Unsolved Mysteries to have a case that's unsolved.
How fucking dare you?
How
I had no warning of this.
Dare you?
Yeah.
It reminds me of like the Pikachu face meme. It's like the cheek of Unsolved Mysteries to have an unsolved case.
Yeah. The thing is, I do watch those shows. Like I watch Unsolved Mysteries and all of that, and I do enjoy it. But yeah, I think I'm a bit of a sadist, maybe.
Maybe.
I just love torturing myself.
Potentially. So, not going to lie to you, Amy. I know it's only Tuesday, but I'm having an amazing week because I saw something yesterday. And obviously, you follow my personal Instagram, so you probably saw my story. But for those who don't follow me on my personal Instagram, I don't know why you would. But
why
I
didn't you?
To be fair,
we're real people.
I barely post anything, and if I do, it's Disney related. So I think people would probably tire of it quite quickly. But I saw that Bloody Disgusting reported that they're going to, and this is legit, this isn't like a parody of Bloody Disgusting. This is from an actual reputable news source. They're going to make a horror film based on the Wonka experience, and the unknown is going to be the main villain. Yeah. I saw it and I was like, that's actually made my week. Oh my, only in 2024. Good.
To be honest, I can see how that's happened, because it's become popular because it's so unpopular.
Yeah.
It's great. But it's made me dream. Like, I've been sitting there thinking, what experience could I just create? Like, just from shit I've got laying around. I'm sure I could do something. I've got a lot of spooky stuff in my house. I'm pretty sure I could recreate some sort of experience.
I love that it... So this experience wasn't like months ago. It's taken them a week.
That's it.
A week to be like, this needs to be a film.
It was AI generated or something, wasn't it? Like they.
So I did find. Let me get this up. So I took a screenshot of like a tweet where it was like additional information about the event.
It was for me. I think the best bit about it was what they gave the kids. Like, you know, you picture that scene in Willy Wonka and they're like running around getting all of the different treats. Like the trees are made of candy. Like they're stuffing their faces with all of these sweets. And the kids that went to this experience got a single jelly bean and half a cup of lemonade. And I was like, this, if anything, is a lesson for children.
It's
that
ridiculous.
Life's fucking tough and you need to get used to it early. Nothing's what you expect it's going to be. So just... you know, understand disappointment. I think that's the true nature of the Willy Wonka experience.
That's the true takeaway from the Wonka experience. So they were given half a cup of lemonade, wasn't it? And like a single jelly bean. There was no chocolate at this event.
No chocolate at an event
about a chocolate maker. The script was 15 pages of AI written gibberish. All of the promotional images were AI, and there was one promotional image that was AI generated that was full of words that weren't words, words that didn't make sense, words that were spelt wrong. And I was just like, this is amazing. One that made me clip that absolutely made me die was when the unknown like came out from behind the mirror and Willy Wonka was like the kids were super, super excited. And then Willy Wonka was like, what's that? It's the unknown. And then the unknown comes out and all you hear is this one child go, no.
I mean, the weird thing is, like, in actual Willy Wonka, I don't remember there being a villain.
There was no bit. So from what I read, the AI script made this entirely... made up villain, the unknown. And I don't know if you saw what the backstory was. It was like, it's an evil chocolate maker that lives in the walls.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I was like, okay, so does he make evil chocolate? Is he evil? And did he commit some sort of crime and then he was interred in the walls of the chocolate factory? Like, what what's going on? Why is he like this evil chocolate maker who lives in the walls of a chocolate factory?
To be fair, this may be a conversation for another day. It's probably one that we should have off mic. Maybe I'll do it as like a bonus recording for the subscribers. But I dreamt once an entire movie.
Okay.
And it's a movie that I'm pretty sure doesn't exist. Like it was kind of apocalypse based. There was like an outbreak of a disease, which, yes, has been done many times in many movies. But it was very specific. And I had this whole, like my whole dream looked like it had a horror blue filter over it. I dreamt the whole entire movie. And then I woke up and remembered every single bit of it. So I wrote it down because I was like, that I could sell that. If I pad that out a bit, I could sell that as a movie script. And I've still got it. So stay tuned. Bonus episode. I'll tell you my movie
Because it was genuinely really good. I've told people since, and they've been like, I'd watch that. That's a fucking great movie. It's got like A24 written all over it.
Okay. Okay.
And it's sick. So I will tell you, and we'll, if you think it's good, Dom, we'll let it out for the listeners. Maybe part of our 100th episode, what? I tell you my movie.
Why am I the authority? So Dom thinks it's shit. So yeah, it's not going to happen, even though
yeah,
he's
Dom
got like
it's crap.
No
it's
authority.
Not. I know it's not. I've watched enough movies and read enough books to know when they're shit, but it was actually a genuinely good thing.
Okay.
And then I remember waking up, remembering the whole thing and like quickly trying to write it down because you know how your dreams just disappear.
Yeah.
So I was quickly trying to write it down. And then afterwards, I was like sitting there rereading it and thinking, my subconscious came up with that. It does fuck all when I'm awake, but
your conscious
when
is
I'm
not
asleep,
great.
Apparently,
when you're asleep, it's fine. Amazing.
Yeah, exactly. I was fuming. I was like, come on.
Dear.
I haven't got an imagination until I fall asleep.
Yeah. So yeah, that made my week. Like, honestly, I was like, yeah. God damn.
I hope it actually happened.
What a world.
I want to see the Willy Wonka with the unknown.
Yeah. Amy, do you have any true crime headlines for us at all?
Do you know what? I actually don't.
Unbelievable.
No, I'll tell you why. The only thing I was going to talk about, you brought up all by yourself.
Oh, did? Sorry.
Because I saw it on your story and I was like, this kind of, I mean, it's not really true crime, but technically it's like false advertisement and you're charging. Yeah. It's kind of maybe fraud if you really pushed it. So I was like, we'll talk about that. And then you went, so what my story this week? And I was like, oh, fuck.
I'm so sorry.
So I did have true crime news, but we've already covered it. So I don't have
any
more.
Let's dive into what happens to the Jameson family. Are you familiar with this case at all, Amy?
No. Although when you said Jamesons, I got very excited because I thought we were going to be talking about this.
Nope. It's
an
not
old solved case, so I can already feel the rage.
It's
me.
It's not the whiskey. It's not the Jetsons. It is the Jameson family, who went missing 14 years ago, and the case is still unsolved. It is still unknown exactly why they went missing. It is unknown exactly how, you know, they died. Spoiler alert: they died. I did say that a little bit in the intro, so I mean that's not exactly a shock.
So we do know where they are.
We know where they went. We just don't know how they did not come back or why they did not come back.
Okay. I don't know. This might not be as rage inducing for me as it normally is. If I know that they're dead, I might be okay.
Okay.
Although don't quote me. We'll see where I'm at the end of the episode.
I'm going to be watching with eagle eyes the frustration mount as this episode goes on. Cool. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, cool. So in 2009, the Jameson family lived in, I don't know how it's pronounced, Eufaula. It's spelled Eufaula. I don't know how that's supposed to be pronounced. Eufaula, Eufaula, Eufaula.
Now we're just making noise.
We are just making noise and making words that don't exist.
Yeah, but that place.
So they lived in Oklahoma. Bobby Jameson was 44. His wife, Sherilyn Jameson, was 40. And their daughter, Madison, was 6. And they also had their family dog as well, I believe, called Maisie. The pair would marry in 2004 and Madison would enter the world soon after that. Sherilyn had another son from a previous relationship, but he was living with his father at the time of the family's disappearance. The family did enjoy a pretty high quality of living. However, they may have been living beyond their means. They lived in a lakefront property and had timeshares in the US and Mexico. The family was also incredibly devout, to the point where they would become increasingly paranoid about ghosts infesting their home. And there you go, mystery solved. The ghosts got them. Come back next week.
Yeah. It's a weird thing to become obsessed with, isn't it? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I rarely think about it day to day. Like, I'm not sitting here thinking. Well, no, I mean, not necessarily the spirit, but I don't know. It's just not often that the idea that a ghost might, what was the word? Infest?
Infect my home.
It doesn't necessarily, like in my list of day-to-day worries, it doesn't really crop up. So yeah. To become obsessed with the idea that it might happen is quite extreme.
I mean, I'd be obsessed. I'd be obsessed when they stopped contributing to the rent and the bills. I'd be like, mate, like if you're going to be here, like at least help. Like you're living rent free in my house. Like you don't do anything.
Depends on what kind of ghost, I suppose. Like if it's Casper, you're good.
That is true. He is the friendly ghost after all.
Great movie.
Do you reckon like Casper's labeled the friendly ghost, but do you reckon like actually Casper's just a massive bell end? Then he's fooled
like he's let it go to his head.
Yeah.
Like he got dubbed the friendly ghost and then he just turned into a bit of a prick. And all the other ghosts are like, hate the friendly ghost, whatever. Everyone just kind of hates him.
I miss who you were, Casper. Not this new Casper. Where's the old Casper?
Either that or he's like a super clingy friend.
Oh, like, maybe.
Your phone starts going off at 3 a.m. and you've got like 12 messages and they're all from Casper. And they're all because you, like, laugh emoji reacted to one of his reels.
Yeah. Or it's like, I'm stuck downstairs. And I'm like, Casper, you can go through walls. What the fuck? Disturbing me. I'm trying to sleep.
He sends messages like, the way you said hello to me yesterday seemed a little bit angry. Are you okay? He's just a bit needy.
I'm very good at noticing changes in mood. What have I... Have I upset you? No, Casper. Oh God!
Do you think I'm not friendly?
You're starting to sound like me, dear. I'm very needy as well. Oh, no, that's not good.
Casper.
I'm Casper. Before he became a ghost, because obviously I'm not a ghost. I'm as pale as a ghost, but I'm not a ghost.
Can you say that? But we've got no proof.
That's it. That's something a ghost would say.
Very sus.
So the family had quite a range of issues, these being financial, domestic problems and marital issues as well. When the family did disappear, Bobby and Sherilyn were both unemployed and receiving disability. Bobby was in a major vehicle accident in 2003 that left him with chronic pain for which he required prescription medications. According to reports, Sherilyn received medicine for bipolar disease and had extreme depression following her sister's untimely death. Additionally, Bobby's relationship with his father had soured due to a bitter business feud, and his papa allegedly threatened to kill the family on no less than two occasions in November 2008 and April 2009. May that come back into play a little bit later? Well, you might just have to keep on listening. But it's worth noting them and keeping in the noggin.
Okay. This is definitely something that I'd put a little star next to if I was jotting down notes for our murder mystery. Maybe. Maybe that's what we should do. Maybe for... Sorry, I'm just, spewing ideas mid-episode. But maybe for a bonus episode, we should invite listeners to join us on a murder mystery.
That would be actually a really cool idea. That would be a really cool idea. I'd be down.
Yeah, we could get some of our like regular collab guests on to be other characters.
Yeah.
And then people can listen along and decide who did it.
Yeah. We can bring our characters from various episodes into it as well.
Yeah.
Leo and Stephen can bring their various characters from their episodes into it as well.
And then one of us can die.
and then one of us can die.
Shotgun.
Actually die, not just in the murder mystery. That's the twist.
Yeah, and then you actually have to solve my murder. That's the selling point.
Additionally, the family's relationship with neighbors was just a tad tense, and some thought Sherilyn was involved in the occult. She had purchased a witch's Bible with her best friend, Nikki Chenault, I believe. After her cats passed away from what appeared to be poisoning, she would scribble a strange message. Message. I sound like Sean Connery for some odd reason. A strange message on a container outside her home. Quote, three cats killed to date by people in this area. Witches don't like their black cat killed.
Okay, this is one of those situations where witches are getting a bad rap again, and I feel like I need to...
God damn it, the occult is getting a bad rap again.
Yeah. You can be a witch and not kill people.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, I agree. So, I'm not sure what that achieves either, spraying that message on the side of a container.
But, hey. I don't know, sometimes you just want... I think some people's response to being... I don't want to say bullied because it's not school, but like being harassed and maybe thought of as a bit weird is to become more weird.
You think I'm weird now? You just wait.
Yeah.
I'm now
I was a bit weird in school and people took the piss. So now, hello, here I am. Being even weirder. So I think maybe that's why. Like if you want people to leave you alone, just get even crazier. So maybe that's what she thought she was going to achieve.
Maybe.
Well, I hope she didn't kill her own cats, because that's a bit mean.
Yeah, that is a bit weird.
Bit much.
Plus, if it's any consolation, Amy, I wouldn't want to have you any other way.
I think
you are wonderful in your weirdness. Plus, like, normal people are boring. It's boring
really
being
are.
Normal.
Like, it's so boring being normal. If you're a normal person listening, number one, how did you get here? And number two, you're a bit boring. Just do something weird.
Yeah. Be weirder.
Pick one weird thing.
Strange. Balls to the wall. Let your strangeness...
Put your balls on the wall. That's weird.
Or you could put your balls on the wall, exactly. Although there were only about 3,000 people living in the village at the time, the couple was thinking about leaving their home by October 2009 in search of a more tranquil spot to live. What they were unable to foresee, however, was that this choice would ultimately bring about the family's untimely demise. So the Jamesons drove the 30 minutes to the Panola Mountain in Red Oak on October the 8th, 2009, in order to view a 40-acre piece of land. Without a realtor being present, they requested that no realtor be around. Which is a bit odd. Bobby and Sherilyn had grown more withdrawn and paranoid, according to friends and relatives, and they were thinking about buying some land so they could live off the grid in a storage container. That's not the coziest choice of home, I'll admit.
Okay. I mean, no, it isn't. But also, you see, like, these grand design things and, like, these eco-living situations where people turn storage containers into, you know, pretty rad stuff. Yeah. This isn't really the same, but kind of the same. I went to a zoo recently, and one of their, like, viewing platforms and, like, the indoor information bit was two storage containers on top of each other that they just converted into, like, this whole room. And it was great. So maybe they had a plan for their storage container. Nice. Or maybe they were just nuts, because that's starting to sound a bit more likely.
Yeah. There might be credence to that, which we'll get into later. And from what I can find, it literally was a storage container. Not like one stacked on the other, or it's literally just a storage container. I don't know if they jazzed it up. What I picture in my mind is like if Cribs were like, this is the Jameson's family storage container, it would just be literally like a bed and a sofa and maybe a TV.
Okay.
Actually, no, not even a TV, because where would you plug that thing in? A bed and a sofa.
I mean, you could have a generator.
I suppose, yeah. No, that's true. That's true, yeah. No,
I'm kind of... I appreciate that these guys are probably a little bit weird and we're maybe slating them a little bit for deciding to live in a storage container. But I'm kind of selling it to myself.
Yeah.
Like, it sounded pretty nice. Live off the grid.
Yeah, true, true.
I mean, I don't know what I'd do without, like, Uber Eats, but I'm sure we can fix some account.
Why can't you find my home? Ma'am, you live in a storage container. Yeah, it's the blue one.
Walk into the field when you hit the storage container. You know where I am. It's easy.
It's blue storage container number 5. Ma'am, they're all blue. I need help.
It's the only one with an aerial.
Then you'll have to like paint it black or something. It's the gothic looking storage container. That's my one.
The stones would be proud.
The Jamesons, as I said, would not return from this trip to see this plot of land. Their abandoned truck would be found over a week later. The Jameson family, as I said, were nowhere to be seen. However, Maisie, the family dog, was still in the truck, dehydrated and suffering from starvation.
Dickheads. Don't care what happened to him. Fuck him.
I don't care that they died.
I hope your storage container rusts. You don't hurt the dog. Dear. You don't hurt the dog.
No,
you don't put the dog in a horrible situation.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Fuck
that is true.
Don't care. End the episode. See you later.
Amy's going to bow out and I'm just going to have to do this.
I knew this was going to give me rage. I knew this episode was going to make me angry. I didn't realise it would be this soon and not for the reason that I thought. Poor Maisie.
Dear. Poor Maisie.
Bring Maisie to me. I'll look after her. She's probably dead now. She's a dog. But yeah.
No, bring her to me. You've already got a dog. I don't have a dog. I want Maisie. Or we can split. We can split like...
We'll split the dog. You take the left half, I'll take the right.
Cool, give me the ass end of the dog. Okay, cool.
Yeah, you nice. Take the end that poops, I'll take the end that is cute. That's a fair deal.
I'll just like make a face or something and put it on. That would be weird. So
you just get the mask off the unknown and whack that on the end.
Yeah,
God, that's a fever dream waiting to happen, isn't it? Can't wait for that. I wonder what movie I can make out of that.
Imagine fucking doing that and then the dog jumps on me at like 3 o'clock in the morning and then I have to be wake up face to face with the fucking dog with the unknown mask on. Oh my God, that would scar me mentally for life. I'd be like, right, you're now paying for my psychiatric bills, you bastard. So in addition to the emaciated doggo, unfortunately, that was found still in the truck, the family's ID cards, wallets, cell phones, GPS unit, and over $32,000 in cash were also found. It's important to remember that the Jamesons were not known, nor did they really carry around a lot of cash with them. So that's a little bit suspicious. In addition to all that, the family's coats were found in the truck, which is noteworthy because the weather at the time of year was starting to become quite cold. And if they had left the truck of their own initiative, it didn't appear like they intended to be outside for very long. An 11-page letter was also found in the truck, penned by Cheryl Lynn, which was dripping with hate and bitterness towards her husband. Cheryl Lynn called him, quote, a hermit and a loner in the letter and stated that she desired a divorce. One last, somewhat strange piece of evidence would be found. And this was a prescription medicine bottle bearing the name of an unidentified male. Its relevance to the case was unclear at first, but it offered a compelling lead for further investigation. So, some suspicious things found in the family truck. The 11-page letter, definitely being one of them. The prescription medicine bottle that belonged to none of them, like just this random person. And yeah, a lot of cash. I think the cash thing is what would alarm me the most. $32,000 is a lot of cash to just have lying in the truck.
Yeah.
Obviously, the dog would probably alarm me the most, actually.
Yeah.
And then the money.
Do what you like. Just take the dog. But it's a lot of money. For people that were on benefits and not working, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
This is going to annoy me, isn't it?
And there are many theories, which we will get into at the end.
I've got none.
It's very strange. Very, very strange. Like, just leaving all of your belongings in the car, ID card, wallet, cell phone, GPS unit, that doesn't seem like if you were leaving under your own choice, doesn't seem like you would leave that behind.
See, that's the bit that I sort of do get. I kind of do get that bit, because if you're looking to go off grid and you want to disappear, then yes, you do leave the ID, you do leave...
No, true.
GPS, because presumably you would then get fake ID and become someone else. But the money doesn't make any sense, because cash is just cash. That goes with you anywhere. And you're going to want that if you want to start a new life somewhere. But
yeah,
that's the part that makes me think maybe it was against their will.
Many questions.
It's a head scratcher.
So far. It is a head scratcher. Mm. It is. The joys of unsolved cases. We just don't know.
Yeah, joy.
It's just Amy's favorite thing.
This is I like answers, and I'm not getting any.
So three Latimer County sheriffs would come and go during the next 4 years, but none of them managed to make any significant inroads into the case's investigation. To find any trace of the Jameson family, a search party would be put together, and detectives scoured miles of forests and surrounding areas. Search dogs, horseback riders, and helicopter patrols all contributed to the search effort. Despite all this, the searches would yield zero results. However, over 4 years after the discovery of the family's truck, a pair of hunters would come across human remains on the 15th of November 2013. They appeared to belong to two adults and one child, but the remains were in such a poor condition, it wouldn't be until the 3rd of July 2014, so half a year after they were discovered, that it would be confirmed. The Jameson family had finally been found. And before we get to part two, that's where we're going to take a wee little break so we can comprehend all of that. She looks like she's about to have some sort of brain explosion. So, Amy, is this a good time for a break?
Yes, please. I just need some time to process.
Okay. While Amy processes all of this information, and to be fair, when I process it as well, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back very, very soon.
Hello, Twisted Humans. Do you find yourself wanting to know more about the latest murder, conspiracy, cults, or haunting?
Then this is the podcast for you. We're bringing the most intense stories that'll keep you up at night.
He was found guilty of voluntary manslaughter and felonious assault, but he was only sentenced to 5 months of probation.
And this would be the last time that anyone ever saw him.
There are allegedly two women who also drowned in the first class pool.
Was this the same glowing green that they'd seen in the darkness the night before?
he had refused to sit near the wagon cloth because of stains on it, which were most likely blood.
Join us every Tuesday for a glass of wine or sangria and a dose of true crime. I'm Alicia.
And I'm Sierra. And this is
Twisted and Uncorked.
What do you get when you mix someone who loves true crime and horror movies with someone who's afraid of their own shadow?
Someone like you?
Yeah.
I'm glad you asked.
You get the perfect podcast.
We're Carmen and Joanna of Live, Laugh, Murder podcast. We're not your typical true crime show. Here at Live, Laugh, Murder, we tell stories that might be true crime or they might be the plot of a horror film. Can you tell the difference? Don't worry, though, because all is revealed by the end. We are true crime sometimes.
So check us out. We release bi-weekly on Saturdays.
And remember to live, laugh, but never what, Joanna?
Murder.
Never murder. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Welcome back to this week's episode as we talk about what happened to the Jameson family. We've talked about their quite curious trip to view a piece of land. We've talked about them not coming back. We've talked about discoveries of the truck and the remains of the family. Amy, how have you found this one so far? I know these cases are a little bit stressful for you, but hopefully you've found it interesting.
It is. It's very... I always find the unsolved ones interesting. I genuinely do. I can feel you like internally rolling your eyes at me, but I do genuinely find them interesting. It's just that I find them infuriating as well. Yeah. I just like to have the answers, and when I don't have the answers, I get a bit upset. But I don't. That doesn't mean I don't enjoy them. Still, I do still enjoy them, yeah. And I like trying to come up with my own theories. I think, to be fair, I think that sums it up. I think. When I'm listening to the story and I can come up with my own theory, then
yeah.
I'm happy and I can like yeah. find things to prove the theory that I've come up with. When I can't think of a theory, when I genuinely have no idea, that's when I get a bit, well, what the fuck? This is a shit story. Yeah. I don't like it. That's when I get frustrated. That's when I want a desk flip.
Okay. Okay. I'm interested. Do you have a theory so far? Do you have like a this might be what I'm thinking?
I mean, if you're gonna put me on the spot, which clearly you already have, I would say that they had maybe planned to do a runner, like make a, I don't know, a new life for themselves. And so they took their passport, some money, the dog, all of that. Like, that's one thing. You don't take the dog to a house viewing.
Yeah.
So if you're going to start a new life and use a house viewing as maybe a way of doing, then that would explain why you take A, the dog, B, all of your ID, and C, 32 grand in cash.
Yeah.
But then, so... I'm sort of forcing myself to commit to one of the two theories that I've got in my head here. So I'm going to. I think potentially the husband found the letter, which okay. maybe she was going to use as a way to take the daughter and the money and start her own life. And maybe decided that, you know what, if that's the way you feel, it's kind of a, if I can't have you, no one else can type scenario. Mm-hmm. So maybe he took the mother and the daughter into the woods, killed them, and then himself.
Okay. Okay.
If you're going to pin me down and force me to do anything, number one, my safe word is meatloaf. And number two, that's my theory because it's the only one that I can make sense.
Meatloaf.
Yeah. Do you want to know why my safe word is meatloaf? Yeah,
please, please. Why meatloaf?
I will do anything for love, but I won't do that. You're welcome. You can use that one if you like.
I'm going to clip that and put that for this episode's clip with no context.
Oh, good. Good. I feel like that's what our like real clips just are at this point. It's the one banging joke that I crack out every episode. It's fine. I'm okay with it.
So yes, there are many questions and not a lot of answers so far. So Amy, are you ready to get into part two, where we talk about the many theories as to what happened in this whole situation?
I'm nervous, but yeah, I'm ready.
Okie dokie. So naturally, the disappearance of the Jameson family has led to quite a lot of theories and hypotheses about how the family perished. So let's start playing detective and let's go through all of the, well, not all of them. I don't, because that would make my brain combust, I think. And
yeah,
I don't think we need to talk about every single one, but I put a few down. So the first of these is a murder suicide. So Amy, you might have been onto something when you theorized that it was a murder suicide. Okay. It has been suggested that Sherilyn killed her husband and daughter in the woods before killing herself because of depression and marital issues. Okay. The letter found wrote by Sherilyn could also support this theory. However, there could be issues with this one. While there was a small hole in Bobby's skull, according to the autopsy report, investigators never found a gun or murder weapon at the scene or in the truck. In addition, at least one of the bodies would have presumably been discovered in 2009 if this was the case. So I could buy him. Obviously, the one thing for me that trips that up is the murder weapon, presumably the gun, is nowhere to be found.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the idea of the body, one of the bodies being found, would make sense as well, because you can't.
Yeah.
You can bury two bodies, but you can't kill yourself and then bury yourself. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, exactly. A gun, I think, is probably relatively easy to get rid of. Mm. And then you could probably quite... I guess it depends on how Sherilyn, what her cause of death was determined to be. But I suppose you could easily use a gun to kill two people and then rid it and then kill yourself. But...
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it doesn't sit quite right. But,
yeah,
like I said, you forced me to pick a theory in my theory. I also said the husband did it as opposed to Sherilyn, which I think probably is more indicative of my mindset when it comes to crime as opposed to my judgment of these people's characters.
The husband did it every single time.
In my head, it's like, well, obviously it's the man, like, you know, whatever. But I guess it would make sense that it was her. I mean, for all we know, it could have been the kid. Who knows? The kid found the letter, like, holy shit, my ass falling apart. My parents are getting divorced. Kid's like, fuck it, I'll just kill him. You know, we don't know. Because we don't know what happened, you can't say for certain who killed who. It's possible. So, who knows? Could be any of the three of them, really.
I mean, if you want to go wild with it, you could say that Maisie offed them all.
Maisie killed them all, then hopped back in
Maisie
the car.
Maisie killed every single one of them.
Didn't eat her journey snacks for a few days, so she looked a bit skinny. And then everyone felt sorry for her.
Yeah.
It's the perfect crime.
See, the dog is the real criminal mastermind behind this whole thing.
Yeah.
It's the dog.
It makes perfect sense. I bet that's one of the theories as well.
The dog's like, man, I can't eat because I really need to sell this.
I really need them to feel sorry for me. Like, this is important.
Oh,
more stressed.
Dear. You were quite good there, Ames, with one of your theories being like it was murder-suicide.
So, I hate to draw your attention to it, but you do remember the Liz Gollier episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I basically told you the story before you told me the story. Like, I'm relatively good at this, but I'm guessing we can't prove that I'm right on this one. So
every so often, you have a Mystic Meg moment.
I do.
Every so often.
Yeah. I just say to myself, I'm a psycho bitch. What would I do in this scenario? And when it turns out that the woman's the murderer, I'm usually right. Weird how that happened.
Our American audience are like, who the fuck's Mystic Meg?
Oh, yeah, don't. She's a bullshitter and dead now, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Didn't see that one coming, did she?
Oh,
I'm sorry. I've derailed you a couple of times tonight. I apologize.
I thought you said you've riled me a few times. I was like, that's a very odd turn of phrase, Ames.
Not too
Never on a recording day.
No. I need all my energy. And you keep screaming meatloaf at me, so.
So the other widely accepted theory is that the family was engaged in the drug trade and that their murder was a result of a drug-related offence or maybe even a botched drug deal. This was based on speculation that Bobby and Sherilyn were involved with drug use, and these rumours might have been stoked not only by them having quite a large amount of cash in their car, but also by surveillance footage footage taken at the residence the day they vanished. So Bobby and Sherilyn are seen loading their truck and heading to the mountains in the footage. They each make more than a dozen trips back and forth without pausing to communicate, as if they were in a, quote, trance-like state, with some suggesting that this supports the hypothesis that they were on drugs. It may be countered, however, that nothing can be deduced from the grainy video, and that loading the vehicle for the journey wouldn't necessarily need them to converse. And to be fair, so you can see the video on YouTube, you can see the security camera footage on YouTube, and you see them going back and forth, you know, sometimes coming out with absolutely nothing and then going back in, sometimes, you know, coming out with stuff, putting it in, then going back. And as for the trance-like state, the security camera footage is lower than low quality, and it's about 2 frames a second.
We all seen the trance-like state.
So it's full of jumps and skips, and you can't make out facial expressions, you can't make out mannerisms. It's literally just footage of two people going back and forth inside the house to the car, to the car, to the house, to the house, to the
plus if they're like having as many marital problems and all that as everyone's saying that they are, then they're probably not talkative with each other anyway.
No, absolutely not. There's nothing that you can gain from watching that clip. There is absolutely nothing that you can deduce from that. I might be wrong on this, but I'm sure that a TV show did a reconstruction of the security camera footage, and that's eerie as fuck because it's like night vision. It's like proper creepy music. Like they stop and pause at points and stare at each other and don't say anything, and that's creepy. But the actual footage itself, like I said, it's just all you'd see is two blurry people going back and forth between the car. You can't really read much from it. So, as I said, while investigators did find the large amount of cash in their truck and did know that there was a history of drug trafficking in the vicinity where the bodies were discovered, no substantial evidence has ever been found to support the drug-related theory. Another hypothesis regarding their disappearance was that they were murdered by a white nationalist religious cult. That's not even like the strangest one. This was primarily the result of conjecture on part of the Jamesons' friends and relatives who informed local media outlets about unfounded rumours that they had heard regarding the family. But what about Bobby's father? Remember, he threatened to kill the family twice. What about Bobby's father? Well, Bobby Jameson was embroiled in a quite contentious legal battle with his father shortly before his disappearance. The dispute stemmed from an agreement Bobby had made to work for free at his father's filling station in exchange for half of the business, which was a deal that Father Jameson, that sounds like he's some sort of pastor, he's not, never held up. Bobby also claimed that his father had threatened to kill the family twice and had actually hit Bobby with his car in November 2008. Bobby further claimed that his father had ties to organized crime groups and was engaged in the meth trade. So he's not covering himself in glory here. Daddy, oh God, no, I'm not going to call him that.
No. I'll get confused. I'm still not 100% sure of his motive, though. Why had he threatened to kill them?
I don't know. Yeah, it's
just
a strange
a bit of a knob.
Yeah, it's a strange because if anything, Bobby would have more of a motivation to off his father than his father would have to off Bobby.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that one doesn't sit well with me.
Not sure what the motive there would actually be. Mm. Bobby's uncle, so the son, his uncle, Jack Jameson, would state that Bobby's father was, quote, either in hospital or a rest home at the time of the disappearance, and did state that while, so I don't have the quote, I'll paraphrase, did state that while Bobby's father was as a disturbed individual, he wasn't capable of murder. So Bobby's father passed away 2 months after the family vanished. And investigators ruled out Bobby Dean as a person of interest, stated that he had quite a strong alibi. So, yeah, father is ruled out. But maybe, just maybe, there wasn't actually anything suspicious nor nefarious at all. Maybe it was just a family who went for a walk, got lost, weren't suitably clothed for the temperature, and succumbed to hypothermia. However, just like a slice of Swiss cheese, this theory has some holes in it.
Okay. I wanted to talk about cheese.
Yeah, I like cheese and I wanted to put that in the episode. I mean, Swiss cheese has a lot of holes in it. This theory also has quite a lot of holes in it, to be fair.
So did, what's his name? What's the dad's name? John?
No, Bob Dean, I think, Bob. Was the first name.
Whoever.
Bob Dean.
I'm pretty sure it was Bob. He had a hole in his head.
Bob Dean Jameson.
Bob Dean Jameson had a hole in his head.
Oh,
no, Bobby had a hole in his head.
No, Bobby. I thought you meant the father of Bobby. Did he mean the father of the family?
Yeah.
Right. Bobby. Bobby is the father of the family. Bobby. Sorry. Bob Dean is the dad of...
Nonetheless, Bobby. One of them had a hole in their head, which seems more relevant than cheese. But you do you. I'm not going to criticize your storytelling style. This ain't my episode.
I mean, I was actually quite happy with that. But fine, you shit on that. No, that's cool. Let's move on.
Cornflakes, sorry.
The problem with the explanation. So if you would like to be the co-host on Harrow House, please email me at...
Do you know what? You say that every time I say something bad that you don't like, and you don't get any emails. So I don't know really what's going on here.
Oh, dear.
It was a very good simile? Analogy? I don't know. Whatever it was very good. I apologize for shitting.
I don't believe you. The problem with this explanation is that the remains were discovered face down, arranged side by side, as if they were killed execution style. In addition, they were discovered 3 miles from their truck. And of course, with Bobby's back issues, it's quite doubtful that he would have desired to go hiking in the hills. If I had a bad back, I probably wouldn't want to go hiking in the hills either, to be perfectly honest.
Me neither. It's interesting that they were all face down because, no, I mean, it definitely sounds like they've been placed that way. And I don't know if it was a murder-suicide, if you would then be able to place yourself in the same position.
Probably not.
I don't know if you'd have control over it. Like, maybe if you, I guess, shot yourself and fell forward, that would work. Or if you took something and then just waited.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, because we don't know how they died, it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's... it's quite a strange... I mean, I can see why that's a theory. If it was a murder-suicide, how would you... Because obviously, you could obviously lay to the... If it was Sherilyn, you could lay Bobby and the daughter side by side. That's fine. Have them face down. But obviously then, how could you kill yourself and make sure you fall forward face down?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Unless you took something, like a poison or whatever... Mm. Maybe I've got poison on the brain after last week's episode, but if you took something and then just laid down and waited,
yeah,
I guess that would also work. I suppose it is possible, but it seems unlikely.
Yeah, because I was going to say, unless Sherilyn or Bobby, you know, if it was a murder-suicide, one of them, Maisie, the dog, I was going to say, unless after obviously they were done killing the two, so Bobby slash Sherilyn and then the kid, they shot themselves in the back of the head, fell forward, but it was only Bobby that was found with a hole in his head. That wouldn't work either. So, yeah.
It would make sense that if it was her, then Bobby would be the violent death out of the three.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that she would shoot him in the back of the head, mm-hmm. and then poison or somehow kill herself and her daughter in a different way, a less painful way, maybe a less violent way.
Yeah.
That does kind of make sense if she wanted to divorce him and if everything in the letter was true.
Yeah.
Then I guess that makes sense, but still doesn't really explain the three of them laying in the same position. Yeah, I don't know. Interesting. Yeah. I'll win this one tonight, I don't think.
I mean, it's not been solved for 14 years, so obviously it's a tough one to crack.
It's because they've never brought it to us.
Yeah, we'll be the ones who solve it.
We'll sort it. Let us know. We will come up with a theory and make the evidence fit, because that's what all good policemen do.
We'll bring in Detective McClue. He's the one that can solve this. He'll get this done in a few days. And he'll be like, what took you so long? Yeah, useless.
He will set up a cordon around the bodies, bring in forensics, get a 20-man search team to search the surrounding area, and then stand over the bodies, and someone will say to him, McClue, we really need a breakthrough in this case. What do you think happened? He will lower his sunglasses, remove the cigarette from his mouth, and say, aliens. Case closed.
And then put the sunglasses slowly back on? Explosions in the background?
No, that's it.
No? Okay.
That's it. Then he just lies down next to the bodies and falls asleep. He just goes, I'm going to take a nap right here.
My work here is done.
Yeah.
I sleep now.
That's what I would do. Maybe not next to the bodies, but...
Oh, dear.
Get in the back with Maisie.
So, So while we have discussed many possible theories, some that sound plausible, some that sound a little bit less plausible, I'm going to leave everybody with a final one. It was ghosts. I wanted to leave the most outlandish one till last. It was ghosts. And, you know, the supernatural. This was the cause of it all. So it was previously known that Sherilyn had an interest in occultism. Additionally, Bobby, who claimed to have studied the Satanic Bible, claimed to have seen spirits on the roof and once wanted to buy, quote, special bullets, which he would use to shoot these supposed apparitions, which this is clearly what a perfectly sane man would say, obviously. Also, if you're a ghost, avoid this house because you'll probably die again because Bobby will shoot you with a special bullet. That would suck. So yeah, that sounds perfectly rational, doesn't it?
Yeah, most plausible theory so far.
Yeah. So this could point to a troubled family in need of psychiatric help. Yes. Or it could be additional proof of drug use. Also, yes. Or some people might even think that their disappearance was genuinely caused by the supernatural. And if that is the case, then maybe you need to have a word with someone yourself, because it's not.
Just call somebody.
Yeah.
Have a chat about it.
Yeah. Not the Ghostbusters either.
Yeah. No, we said call somebody, not who you're going to call. Got themes on your head now. Brilliant.
Bobby should have called the Ghostbusters if he's having a ghost infestation. Not shoot them with special bullets. Like, what are you doing? Call the Ghostbusters. Have them come over.
Them rocking up. They're trying to go off grid. That's the last thing he needs.
No, true.
He needs that
true.
Like a hole in the head. You're welcome.
So, regardless of which one of these many theories you choose to believe, one thing is for absolute certain, and that is nobody knows what happened to the Jameson family on that fateful October day 14 years ago. And with no leads, no people of interest, nobody coming forward who has knowledge of the situation, and a case that is colder than cold, that is how it's going to stay. A puzzling, unsolved mystery with a lot of questions, yet very, very few answers. And that's the case of the disappearance of the Jameson family. Do you have a favourite theory out of all of those, Amy? Are you set on murder, suicide? What are you thinking?
Again, I don't know. I'd need to know the cause of death for the women, for the daughter and for Sherilyn, I think, to be able to say, okay, this is the theory that I'm going to commit to. But providing that the letter is real and not a plant to throw someone off the scent, then I would be inclined to think that either Sherilyn or Bobby killed. Now that I'm talking it through in my head, I'm less convinced it was Bobby, because if you're the only one with a hole in the head, you don't shoot yourself in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Like, it's the least practical way to shoot yourself. So I don't think it was necessarily him. That's all I got. I guess the drug thing has potential. Like, there's a lot of money in the car, but then if you were the murderer, you know, as presumably a drug dealer or whatever, the guy that deemed it fit to kill them because they'd fucked something up or whatever, then surely you'd take the money with you. Because the money has potential to tie things back to the drug trade or to him or her or whoever. So surely you would take that with you and not just leave it. And then wouldn't you also take all of the ID?
Yeah.
Just to, you know, throw police off the scent a bit more. Like, it doesn't reek to me of someone that, of a situation where someone left the scene. Like, to find the truck, like, I don't think someone left it, like, there's three dead people, they don't care what's in their truck. That makes sense. But if there's someone that has killed them and is trying to cover up what they've done, you probably go back to the truck and kind of deal with whatever you need to deal with within. So I think murder-suicide is still my main theory, but I'm just not sure how they did it.
Yeah. I would say that there are quite a few signs that would point towards a murder-suicide. There was the, obviously, the marital issues. The letter, if it was a genuine letter, was very scathing towards Bobby. And of course, there was, you know, the mental health issues that Sherilyn was suffering from. So I can see that. The drug use one, from what I've seen in you know, videos about the case, and obviously, this is just an overview. There are many videos that you can watch about this that, you know, really delve into the nitty-gritty. But from what I've noticed, a lot of people make quite a big deal about the surveillance video as for them being, you know, using meth and all of this stuff. And there's nothing that you can gain from that video. Absolutely nothing. I suppose them carrying a lot of cash could point to them going out to make a drug deal, and something went wrong.
It could, but it could also point to them going out to look at land with a storage container on it to buy.
Yeah.
You know, that's 32 grand is, you know, deposit money.
Yeah.
Like, it could have just been that. And, you know, if they're the sort of people that don't trust banks, which you would assume that they would be, considering they're fucking meth addicts and big, convinced that they're going to be haunted by ghosts, you can also chuck into the mix that they don't trust, you know, the establishment. Maybe they do just save up their money and keep it in a, I don't know, in a bag in the boot of the car. Who knows? So I guess that it could point to that as well.
Yeah.
You know, you've got no way to ask the money what it was going to be used for. So you can't assume anything.
There's a lot of questions. And obviously, due to the fact that the bodies were so badly decomposed, I don't think a cause of death is ever really going to be to be found. So people are going to be able to theorize and hypothesize regarding, that was a big word, regarding what happened. But that is our case for this week. It's been a while since we've done an unsolved case. We haven't done, I think it's the first one this year, isn't it?
Definitely unsolved. The first one this year, yeah. I can't remember. I think we were trying to work it out the other day, but I can't remember the last unsolved one we did. Not that I'm complaining about it, because they're not my best. But, you know, it's this one was actually quite... I don't have a theory, and that's when it frustrates me, but there are a lot of theories, and that kind of makes up for it.
Yeah, I think the fact that there are so many sort of angles you can take, rather than this family disappeared and we got nothing, no theories, literally nothing. So
yeah,
it makes for interesting and intriguing reading that there are many different ideas about what happened to them. Amy, would you like to see us out for this week?
Of course I would. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We appreciate you being here as always. We are gradually approaching our 100th episode.
Oh, yes.
What the fuck?
Oh, yes. That's
how did that happen?
I don't know.
And honestly, it feels somewhat stranger for me as well, because obviously I joined on episode 33.
You did?
Which is insane. Like, we've done so many episodes now. It just, my brain can't handle that, even even less so than an unsolved case. But if you listen to us regularly, if you like what we do, and if you would like to send us a little message that we can include in our 100th episode where we are going to review some of the lovely things that people have said about us, maybe some of the horrible ones too. Not that there are very many. But we'll look at them. You know, we've got to be unbiased about these things. Then please do. Our email address is in the link on the Instagram bio and probably in the show notes. So send us an audio message, send us a text if that's what you prefer, because we can read it out on your behalf. And let us know what you think. Let us know what you like. What was your favorite episode of the last 100 episodes? We want to hear from you, and we want to include you in our 100th episode, because it's going to be a lot of fun. We've had some great messages already. In the meantime, please do like, subscribe, comment, Q&A, just do fucking everything. Sort out some sort of cheerleading uniform and create a chant if you want. I mean, you don't have to, but it'd be nice.
What would our chant be? I'm intrigued.
1, 2, 3, 4. I don't want unsolved no more. Is that enough?
That was good.
Thank you. But yes, please do like, subscribe, do all that stuff. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. We like it when people enjoy seeing our faces, although
yes,
not sure either of us know why. Next episode is not going to be unsolved, because I'll never choose to do unsolved. And I can't do two in a row. But until then, as always, stay spooky.
Stay spooky. So, Amy, how would you deck out your storage container home?
Good question.
What would Amy's storage container home look like?
Think I'd probably go with meat hooks from the ceiling with intermittent neon lights.
Oh, God.
Think serial killer club night.
Okay.
I think that's what I'd go with.
I like that.
And then maybe an egg chair, because I've just always wanted one.
Just a random egg chair.
In the middle, in the maybe, corner. So I could like spin around. Yeah. What about you?
It would need to be sort of a black interior, maybe grey, maybe a sort of grey interior, black or grey. As for like decor, quite like as macabre as possible. Like cereal.
Meat hooks and neon lights didn't do that for you.
Oh yeah, it did.
Oh, okay.
It did.
Okay.
But like, it wouldn't be like serial killer party night. It would be like sort of macabre trinkets and stuff like that.
Edgar Allan Poe's storage unit.
Edgar Allan, yeah, like a. I think it would be quite Edgar Allan Poe.
Okay.
Esque, I would say. That would probably be the way I'd go with it.
Yeah.
But I'll come to a serial killer party night.
Thanks.
I think that'll be a riot.
You're not invited.